This is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today's January 29, 2010. I'm going to read a text from Ephesians 2, verse 4 and following. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, this is Ephesians 2, verse 7. Listen very closely. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel of Jesus Christ is clearly outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 by Apostle Paul. He said that Jesus Christ died for our sins on a cross, and he was buried. And after 3 days, he was raised from the dead, according to the scriptures. He was visibly seen by over 500 people. They were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He that was nailed to a cross by the Jews, a religious system in that day, and cooperating with the Roman Empire, executed. The innocent Son of God, Jesus Christ, died for the sins, the guilt of the world. And whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The amazing thing about this Ephesians chapter 2, and it's also echoed in Colossians chapter 2, that God took the sins of humankind, as well as the ordinances that were against us, the law of Moses that outlined clearly what is sin, as well as that the fact that we were outsiders, Gentiles, pagans, heathen, doesn't matter. Jews, Israelites, no matter what bloodline you are, God took that and nailed it to the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he was buried. So our sin and what was accusing us, which was in the law, nailed it to the cross. And if you believe on that, you yourself are buried with Jesus Christ, and God has raised you up together with him and made us sit together in the heavenly places. This is a spiritual reality, ladies and gentlemen. We are God's workmanship, that God has recreated us in Jesus Christ. And as we lay down our life and are crucified and identify with Jesus Christ's death, we're buried. We no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in us. And as Paul would say in another scripture, that he would know him and the power of the cross and the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul was not ashamed of the cross because it was the power of God unto salvation. And see, what God is looking for right now is not circumcision and it's not uncircumcision, but God is looking for faith. Faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Because going back thousands of years ago to the father, the patriarch Abraham, a man of faith. Because God promised Abraham that in him all the nations would be blessed. He was an old man. But God promised him. There wasn't such a thing as the law of Moses at that time. Moses had not come. God had not brought the law through Moses. And this man, Abraham, heard God's voice and heard the promise, and he had faith and believed what God was promising, he was also able to perform. And God accounted that for righteousness. Faith pleases God. And it's written in the scriptures that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Today, we have just as much variety of spiritual expression and belief and experience and style as we did 2,000 years ago at the coming of Jesus Christ and his own people. Get Pharisees, Sadducees, Samaritans, the scribes, the zealots. And you had the pagans, the heathens, the Romans. Worship of Apollo and Zeus and Jupiter. Worship of the stars and all kinds of vain things. Statues, images. The worship of leaders. Worship of men. Worship of rabbis and teachers. Worship of Greek philosophy. And the same is true today. Teachers. So-called prophets. Rabbis. What is God calling us to do is to follow him and to hear his voice. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I've shared this with you before. The time will come to pass when men wish they had listened to the words of God more than the words of man. And I plead with you. I urge you. Put every single thing that I say to the test with Scripture, because there's no higher authority than the Word of God. It is forever settled in heaven. And you're blessed because you have access to the Scripture one way or another. And if you don't, you ask God and he'll provide a Scripture, a Bible for you. God made a way where these words, as holy men of God, prophets, spoke and were moved upon by the Holy Spirit, and the words of God were written down. Yes, there's many, many, many versions, many translations, but there's many nations, many peoples that speak different languages. And God is able to save you to the uttermost if you have faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, by grace are you saved. Through faith, it's a gift of God. God loves you. Marvel at this wonderful thing, ladies and gentlemen, because as I read in this beginning of this message, Ephesians 2, verse 7, says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. The grace of God, how can it be comprehended? It'll take eons of ages to really understand, ladies and gentlemen, how God has saved you and me from death, from eternal judgment. We deserved it. But if we put our faith on God's Son, his gift, and receive it, and walk in faith, we're blessed. A long time ago, even during the time of the law of Moses, a man named David, King David, son of God, and God promised he would sit on the throne of Israel forever, of his own progeny. From his loins would come forth the son, a king. And that's who Jesus Christ was related to, King David, according to the flesh. But in the Psalms, it's written, the blessedness of a man that believes in God. I want to read this to you. These days are unprecedented. The things that God has told us would come before the second coming of Jesus Christ, the end of the age, are happening in our world. But bottom line, you need to know that you're forgiven. You need to know that you are a son or daughter of God and that you're blessed. So God had promised that all the nations would be blessed with Abraham. So Romans 4 is talking about Abraham. And listen to this instruction. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And this is where Paul quotes from Psalms 32. Even as David also described the blessedness of this man, unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, verse 9 of Romans chapter 4, Paul says, comes this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So we have Abraham, the father of faith, that before the law ever came, before circumcision ever took place, he had faith in God, and God counted him as a righteous man. And God promised him, swore to him, that in him would all the nations be blessed. Verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which were of the law be heirs, then faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect, because that law works wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, and to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. This is important, ladies and gentlemen, because God's calling you to walk in Jesus Christ by faith. And if you do that, all they that are of faith are blessed with Abraham, and then you are Christ's seed. God's looking for the new man that's in Jesus Christ, where there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, nor male nor female, but a new man in Jesus Christ, walking in faith. God's not called you to look to the left. God's not called you to look to the right. God's not called you to be Jewish. He's not called you to be pagan or heathen or American or Japanese, but he's called you to be a son or daughter of God, walking in faith in Jesus Christ. And forever, through the ages, you'll be glorifying God, not because of your works, what you've done. You've not striven in to fulfill laws, but that the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ was fulfilled in you as you walked in the Spirit of God. And this is what countless scriptures declare. Galatians 5 says, I stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. What he's saying here is if you're going to start keeping part of the law, you are obligated to follow all the law. And there's only one that has ever done that, and his name is Jesus Christ. God's not called you to strive. God's not called you to sweat. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, it urges you to enter into the rest of God, where you cease from your own works as God has rested from his own works. When Hebrews 6 was talking about the foundation of being in the doctrines of Christ, Christ himself, the very cornerstone. And then repentance from dead works and faith towards God. And ladies and gentlemen, you will never get to maturity and the meat of the Word of God if you do not have the ABCs and the milk of the Word. And this is what God has called you, to learn the truth, to stand strong in his grace, in the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ, and in the power of his resurrection. Walk in him.